When the going gets tough for U.S. presidents, historical precedent tells us the tough reach for diplomacy's ultimate brass ring.
We live at a time when peace may become possible in the Middle East for the first time in a generation.
That's President Richard Nixon in the toughest year of his political life, 1974. A bloody war in the Middle East had ended less than a year earlier, and Nixon's presidency would not survive the year because of the Watergate scandal. Nixon went to China, some say, as a distraction from his domestic political woes, but he also reached for the Arab-Israeli ring.
We are well on the way toward building a peace that can last, not just for this, but for other generations as well.
The generations are still waiting, of course, but each U.S. president has taken a turn. 4 years after Nixon's resignation, Jimmy Carter came closer than anyone in the White House ever had before.
We are privileged to witness tonight a significant achievement in the cause of peace, an achievement none thought possible a year ago, or even a month ago, an achievement that reflects the courage and wisdom of these two leaders.
In Carter's case, he benefited from a sign Egypt and Israel wanted to take a leap forward towards each other. Anwar Sadat went to Jerusalem.
I'm feeling that this is a sacred mission because, as I say, the alternative is horrible.
And Israel's militant, seemingly hardline Menachem Begin would withdraw from the Egyptian Sinai desert.
Of course, Egypt is the largest and strongest Arab country neighboring with Israel, and we are very interested in having peace with Egypt and friendship too.
Carter had to talk tough with Sadat and Begin in the end to get the Camp David Accord signed. And in a sense, this tough-talking U.S. presidential mediation in the Middle East down through history has been a marker, something of a test of U.S. power and prestige in the world. In the 1950s, Dwight Eisenhower basically ordered the Suez Crisis to an end.
I believe that this assembly should take action, looking toward the creation of a standby United Nations peace force. The need for such a force is being clearly demonstrated by recent events involving imminent danger to the integrity of two of our members.
And a generation later in the Madrid conference after the first Gulf War, the first President Bush and his Secretary of State James Baker basically told Arabs and Israelis that they had a deadline. But by the time of Bill Clinton, the momentum of U.S. pressure was beginning to run out.
Today, we bear witness to an extraordinary act in one of history's defining dramas, a drama that began in the time of our ancestors when the word went forth from a sliver of land between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea.
President Clinton could not resist the biblical metaphors in a drama that at first resulted in a historic handshake. Here's PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat.
I am coming here to shake hands with my previous enemy. But now we have to coordinate in the future for the sake of our two peoples.
But Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin would be assassinated by an Israeli radical, and the path toward peace became obscured. And at the last moment of the Clinton presidency, it fell apart completely in a failed round of negotiations at Camp David in 2000. A decade of momentum vanished.
The two parties discussed things they had never discussed before. They came closer together than they had ever come before. They still have a ways to go. And I think we need to support the Friends of Peace.
And then ultimately lost in the aftermath of a world changed forever after 9/11.
Oh my God.
That looks like a second plane. We just saw another plane coming in from the
south. In a sense, last night's dinner at the White House between Barack Obama, Jordan's King Hussein, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is a picking up from where the world left off perhaps a decade ago.
And though each of us holds a title of honor, President, Prime Minister, King. We are fathers blessed with sons and daughters.
A day after Barack Obama wearily announced one combat war in Iraq was finished, he posed an old question for U.S. presidents.
So we must ask ourselves, what kind of world do we want to bequeath to our children and our grandchildren? Tonight, and in the days and months ahead, these are the questions that we must answer. And this is a fitting moment to do so.
President Obama embraces this long-standing test of U.S. power and prestige as direct talks between Israel and the Palestinians begin later this morning. We can all ask ourselves, are we any closer to that brass ring?